All right, it's Wednesday night. It's 8 p.m. I've been dying to get a pod out, and nobody's here but me. So will somebody join? Will Caden get home from the gym? Will he get down here? I don't know, but I got a lot of things to cover. So again, don't want to wait till Thursday night. You got Thursday night football. We typically got a lot going on towards the end of the weeks. So I got a lot of stuff to cover. Number one, we're going to be talking about the Bears. We're going to be talking about the Hail Mary that just sent our whole city into the basement to run for cover. It was bad. We're going to talk a little bit of NBA. We got to talk Dwayne Wade statue. I can't wait to talk Dwayne Wade statue. We got a little bit of World Series coming. We're talking about Freddie Freeman, who's homered in six consecutive World Series games. We're actually doing this pod right now while Game 5 is live. Yankees are up 4-0, and Cole has a no-hitter going into the fourth inning. So it looks like that's going to go back to LA. We are going to talk about the worst NFL picking you've ever seen, as we've moved our picker from myself to Caden to Uncle Clint, and it has been brutal pretty much all the way around. And I'm also going to talk about one thing that we covered last year, which was my recommendation for NFL's emergency button. And I'm going to talk more about that and why that really needs to come into play. So it's the sports life. We're talking sports. Let's go. All right. Let's just start with the Bears. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, I have not personally watched the Bears the way that I have this year because of this, because of how frustrating it is to see the late starts, to see how we can't get anything going in the first half of games, while knowing that the team has a really good defense, has a lot of offensive potential. So here's a game that we have absolutely no business winning against the Washington Commanders, where they had a couple of touchdowns called back on them, one to Zach Ertz, which I looked at it a number of times, that still looks like a touchdown to me, reminds me of the Calvin Johnson play back in Detroit from many years back. Still not fully convinced that the NFL knows what a catch is. We had kind of a unique one this week that I wasn't really sure about until I saw, which was the Pickens catch from Russell Wilson, where if you land on one foot, jump in the air off that foot, and land on that foot again, that's not a catch. I've just never really even thought of anybody ever doing that, but that was the first time I had ever seen somebody, you know, basically land, not get 2 feet in, but get the same foot in twice and have that one called back. So that was kind of interesting. But jumping back to these Bears, I mean, do we really want to see this team win? I mean, if this team winning means that we're going to have to deal with these coaches next year and we're going to have to see this coaching staff again, no, I'm sorry. Let's go 8-9. Let's continue to develop Caleb, and let's get rid of these guys. You're not going to win big games with this coaching staff. I mean, I'm talking to people. People are calling me, texting me. We're just literally, what just happened in this game? Number one, why were we even in it? We did nothing all game. Caleb Williams through three quarters had 39 or 44 yards passing or something like that. It was just awful. We could not get anything going the whole game. Again, fourth quarter, we look like a different team. I mean, Caleb looked like a different quarterback, going through his progressions, feeling good. I don't know whose fault that is. I can't explain that. But when you're driving, I'm just going to go through three things. I could go on and on and on about how awful they are. These three things progressively get worse, in my opinion. Number one, you are running your plays to try to win the game at the end there. You know, this is it. The Bears are basically running down the clock. This is their last chance. They got to put it in the end zone. Caleb Williams on first down and second down runs two like quarterback draws. They hadn't been calling keepers for him all game. I mean, Caleb had been running all over the place, running for his life the whole game, but there had not been designed runs for him the whole game. So Caleb gets in a spot where he's got two designed runs. One actually looked pretty good. He got tripped up. Then the next play they call, he just basically ran into the line on a draw. You're watching that going, is this a team? We're trying to win this game here. We got to put the ball in the end zone. So that was my first beef where I'm watching it just going, again, not that the coaching before this was any better, but absolutely awful here late in the game. On a drive to win the game, I'm sorry, to take the lead. And what do? We're on the 1 yard line. Oh, Caden's joining us. Caden, man, jump in the mix here. I want you close to the mic. I want us loud. We don't want any Uncle Clint quiet mic problems here. But hey, don't come here. Hey, don't come in here opening bottles, making all kinds of racket. And don't have me looking across at you. Hey, don't have me looking across at you when you're on your phone the whole time. Okay. Flip the phone. Only looking at the phone if it's got to do with sports. I'm talking about the Bears. I'm talking about the awful coaching. Why don't you open that somewhere else and then come back? Because I'm going to be sitting there watching you do it the whole time. You could come back and give me your feedback on this too. We hand the ball to an offensive lineman from the 1 yard line. The Bears literally have a player on their team that they have on their team to punch balls in at the goal line. Johnson. That's his job. He's in the game. We're not the Chiefs. We're not the Lions. We don't have David Montgomery and Amon-Ra St. Brown throwing touchdown passes, okay? We're not capable of creative offense like that. We have multiple opportunities to run the ball in. We got a goal line running back, and we hand the ball to an offensive lineman in a play that looked like they had never practiced. Again, is this guy getting reps in practice? Is this offensive lineman? Are they working on this stuff? Because I'll tell you right now, the Lions are working on their stuff. Those Lions, that's not a mistake that these guys are, that Jared Goff's catching a touchdown pass. Get that mic up close.
I can see they cut their fullback. And usually the guy who gets that handoff, I mean, the Bears have never tried that play, but if that play ever happens, it's going to, I think it's Blasingame. Ryan Poles just cut Velus Jones and Blasingame last week, and Blasingame's their fullback. I guess they didn't have enough opportunities or he just didn't do his job, but he's a good fullback, and he's the perfect guy for that situation, and they cut him, so now they're forced to go to the fullback, and maybe Shane Waldron's thinking, oh yeah, they can punch, they can... we can fool them by thinking we're going to go with Johnson and go with the fullback. But
why are you fooling people?
I don't know.
Why are you trying to fool people? You're on the 1 yard line. You don't have to fool anybody.
I'm just saying.
You got to power back. You got to run it up the middle and punch it in the end zone.
Cut that fullback blasting in. That's going to be a touchdown. But since he cuts him, now Shane Waldron's forced to use it with the offensive lineman. It's a horrible play call, but I'm just saying it's a little easier on Waldron knowing that you actually got a guy who's practiced that play. Other than that, you just cut it, now you're forced to do the offensive
line. So it sounds to me like you're thinking that they had that play drawn up to go to the fullback, and they didn't have a fullback.
Yes.
So would you think maybe they wouldn't run that play then?
That's what I was thinking. I'm just
saying. Okay, this is what I'm saying. This is the whole point. These guys are morons. We need a new coaching staff in there. Okay, we need a Mike Vrabel. You know, there's coaches out there that are proven winners in this league. We got to get rid of these guys. Again, I'd prefer an 8-9 season at this point. I don't want anybody to be mistaken and think that we can win with these coaches in place. This stuff is just ridiculous. Yeah, what happened on the next drive? The next drive that the Bears took it down and they got it inside the 5, what happened?
They scored a touchdown?
Yeah, and who scored it?
Caleb?
No. Roshan Johnson scored it. You know why? Because that's what he's on the team to do. He's short yardage, and he could barrel it in, and that's what they did. And you're sitting here like, what are we doing?
There's a lot of negatives to that game, but there's a couple positives. First, I felt like Caleb Butch looked much better in the second half. I think that he had some really positive drives, and I think a lot of people are frustrated about this running game, but I feel really good about this running game. I feel like Swift, if you call plays, if Shane Waldron sets up Swift for success, I think that he's going to be he's going to have success, especially going outside. He's actually been pretty solid up the middle and catching passes. And then Roshan going up the middle and getting big-time yards. And then
the running game has come on.
Yeah,
Swift
everyone says, everyone's making excuses. Oh, yeah, we're not a first-half team. You better be a first-half team against teams like the Lions and the Vikings.
I mentioned the slow starts.
You better be. Because
the slow starts every game against every team, good or bad. They start slow.
Because you can't be just dependent on the third or fourth quarter to get things going when – the teams, really good teams, are legit all four quarters.
And this punter, this guy's been a game changer. Mm. I mean, in the last 5 games, this guy is shifting the field. The Bears will be 3 and out. They'll be buried inside their own 20. And this guy lets one off for 65 yards with hang time, where it's not really like a line drive where the guy's getting a lot of momentum to make a run back. I mean, he's worth his weight in gold. I mean, on a competing team, this guy could really flip things. I mean, he's pretty special. He's got a leg on him. But hey, I want to get to my third thing because I was going through coaching things. The QB runs up the middle late in the game on the final drive.
plays that they didn't even call at all.
The old lineman handoff and then going to the Hail Mary, right? Like, so a Hail Mary is something that you practice. You practice it on offense, you practice it on defense, and where guys need to be. Now, Stevenson's getting heat, rightfully so. You know,
he should be benched.
The internet went crazy. He's taunting with the Washington fans. While, and then the play starts, and he's still kind of out of position type of thing. But I'll be honest here. He had plenty of time to get back into position, and he did. I mean, the play literally took 8 to 10 seconds.
He was supposed to box out the guy.
I know, but the play took 8 to 10 seconds. I'm not saying he did the play correctly. I'm saying that the taunting really did not affect the result of the play.
And he says it wasn't taunting. He was celebrating.
That's probably true, but he had time to get back in the play. He was back in the play. He screwed it up while back in the play. It had nothing to do with what he was doing with those fans. That play literally took forever if you watched the whole thing.
Do you think that if it was an incomplete pass and the Bears won, that there would still be some questions why he was...
No, I don't even think it's brought up. It's only brought up because people, you know, like to stack on, like to jump on somebody like that in that situation, given, oh, karma, look at what happens when you act like this. Again, it was just a lucky play, and the fact that the Bears were out of position... Based on not practicing for something like that, you got to have a guy in the front. You got to have a guy in the back. If you watch the play from the side, that ball is not even making it into the end zone. That ball's falling probably just short of the goal line.
I said this a lot. I'm not sure why the Bears are rushing so many guys. They should rush at least maybe just three guys, and the rest of the guys in the end zone.
It's pretty common. I think that was rushing three, where the guy was.
No, they were rushing like four.
The guy on the outside was held really bad by two guys. I mean, it was pretty brutal. He was trying to rip away from him, and they showed that. You can back that play up and see it.
But there should not be...
They don't throw a lot of flags on Hail Mary plays.
All the guys should not be where the ball is. There should be guys spread out. But also, I feel like Matt Eberflus should have called a timeout. He should have called a timeout. And, you know, things in the interview, he should have took accountability, and he did not. He says that he was fine with the play, with the 15-yard out. That they went out of bounds the play before the Hail Mary, and then they didn't call a timeout because they had things like situated. But just for clarification, you have to call a timeout. And this week so far in interviews, Matt Eberflus did not take a lot of responsibility. He blamed it on the players, and that just shows bad leadership. Even if it's on the players, you still got to take some leadership. Especially how bad there was a bunch of false starts, a bunch of coaching errors. He's still got to take some accountability.
They're not prepared. One of those long plays was not even a catch, by the way, if you looked it back. If they would have thrown the challenge flag on it, they probably would have overturned it. It didn't look like it was a catch. It was that low throw,
I think. The only reason why Eberflus is still on the team is because of his defense. And his defense is good, but also if the Bears' defense is not the way it is right now, how good it is, I think the Bears' defense, the talent-wise, is looking Eberflus really good, but I don't think he's that good of a coach.
He's not. The staff, you just mentioned it. It's just the signs of an unprepared team. The fact that we have above 500 record, it reminds me a lot of the other bad teams in the league, below 500 teams, where you watch them make constant mistakes. The Giants are a team, if you're watching. Constant mistakes in big spots. Obviously, the Panthers. The Bengals are another one when you watch them week in and week out. There's like undisciplined stuff going on that doesn't happen when your team is a well-oiled machine and finely coached. I'm done with the Bears. I don't know how people have done this their whole lives and watched this stuff, watched this nonsense that they put on the field. And the fact that, I mean, invest in your coaching staff. Invest in winning, because they're not doing it right now. Again, the pieces are there. The defense is there. The offensive weapons are there. But if you don't have a guy giving them the roadmap, if you don't have the right guy at the top, it's not going to happen.
Now,
and that's what we got right now.
I mean, yeah, everyone's been really excited about Ryan Poles. Yes, he's been doing a really good job. But there are some things where I just felt like he has not been doing very good. For example, the Velus Jones. If you watch Hard Knocks, Velus Jones was literally, teams were calling to trade and give up good talent for Velus. Velus has a horrible game against Tennessee, and then 5 weeks later, he gets cut. Then, again, I
Caleb's think, running for his life.
Yeah, the offensive lineman, and again, I think Rome is starting to come to his personnel, but I also think that you got to draft Joel. I think that Caleb needs help. The offensive lineman's really bad. I think Ryan Poles also... I mean, Ben, did you all hear the Lions offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson? He was looking at the Bears for the head coaching job. He really wanted to be a Bears head coach, but the Bears turned away from him because they want to keep Eberflus. And then I really wanted the offensive coordinator, says Shane Waldron, to be Cliff Kingsbury, because Caleb Williams and Cliff were at USC together. So, I mean, if Ryan Poles would have just
he could have made moves,
yes,
right?
Yes, he could have made, moves. He really taunted the Carolina Panthers franchise, but he's got to do a little bit more. He's really got to know this franchise, and he's done a good job, but I don't think he's done a great job like people think he has.
It's hard to watch. It's hard to be a fan. I don't know. I'm still hanging on, but I may go back to my old ways and watch other games instead. We are moving on. All right, we got to talk about NFL picks. We are officially in the cellar after, what do we got, 48 games in. So what is that? That's 8 weeks. What are you looking at there? What do you got? You want to announce something? You got the Bulls?
They were down like 20. Now they're
we're 18-30 on the season. In a pool with almost 100 people in it, we are in dead last. Update, Caden. Uncle Clint has lost the phone. Uncle Clint held the phone for, I believe, 3 weeks. I think he held it for 3 weeks. He ended up going 1-5 this week. He was rescued by Russell Wilson. Steelers don't come out on top in that game on Monday night. Then Uncle Clint goes 0-6. He had a rough week. Uncle Clint was playing with some heavy numbers. I mean, he had like the Chiefs covering 9 points. I mean, he had heavy numbers to cover. It didn't work out. Now the phone returns to me, but he almost took some 0-6 sombrero, let me tell you. Okay, so let's go through it. Let's make my picks. I have no confidence in these. I don't recommend taking any advice I give. Again, we're 18-30. If we're gambling, we're way down. But here's the thing about the pick six, and this is why we do it. This overall record, it means nothing, okay? We want 1-6-0. If we get 1-6-0, we're going to at least get our money back. That's what we're pushing for.
1-6-0.
We're going to go 6-0 in 1 week. If you get one time, 1 week, you go 6-0. It don't matter what this overall record is, okay? So we got to nail this 1 week. I think our best week so far has been 4-2. So the first week we got a Thursday night game. We got the Jets favored against Houston at home, favored by 1.5. I'm taking Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Houston's injured. No Diggs, no Collins. I don't know.
Take Dallas and have a big game.
I'm picking Houston right now. We might come back to it. We'll see. I hate the Jets are due to do something. God, they stink.
Wait, they're facing the Colts or
Jets?
Oh, Jets.
Jets, Houston. The Jets are favored by 1.5 at home. Favored. I know. I can't either. That line surprises me. I'm starting off with Houston there. Yeah. Washington at the Giants. Washington favored by 3.5.
I got Washington.
I kind of like that too. The Giants have been awful, but again, the Giants.
The Commanders are coming off of a big win.
So weird. Division games, I hate them. So we'll think about coming back to it. We're going to start with it, though. Chargers at Cleveland. You got the Chargers favored by 1.5 in Cleveland. I do not like that game. I do not like that game. Famous Jameis, baby. I told you. So pick him up on your fantasy team.
I just picked
Jameis likes to wing it. Jameis likes to fire. He's got that Browns team looking a little bit different, but not so much that I'm willing to take a gamble on him.
And the Chargers, what are the Chargers' record?
The Chargers, I'm not sure. They're above 500, I think.
They are? Wow.
Yeah, the Chargers, they're like...
I was interested going into the year how Harbaugh's going to do. Like, can he coach successful college, but can he coach successful NFL?
He's had success in the pros already. He coached the Niners when Kaepernick was there.
Did he coach the Bears or did he play for the Bears?
No, he played for the Bears and the Colts, but he coached the Niners when Kaepernick was there, got him to a Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he's proven, man. He's a proven commodity. We're going to stick away from that Chargers-Cleveland game. Buffalo favored by 6.5 against Miami. Buffalo's at home.
Buffalo always has success against Miami.
They usually do. You're right. We're going to click it for now.
Yeah, I like Buffalo.
Dallas at Atlanta. Okay, we got Atlanta favored by 2.5 at home. I hate betting Dallas one way or the other. You just never know what you're going to get out of that team. Atlanta's been looking better.
I'll stay away from that game.
New Orleans favored by 6.5 at Carolina. I mean, God.
I don't like that.
You
game.
Can't bet.
I think Carr's coming back, though.
When you got two junk teams, you just can't bet it. Next one's the same thing. Patriots at Tennessee.
Yeah.
With the Titans favored by 3.5. Don't like it.
Yeah.
How about Cincy favored by 7.5 at home against Vegas? I actually kind of like Cincy there. Vegas has just looked atrocious. I like that. Okay, Caden, I already told you. Stop with the bottle top. Stop it. I mean, come on. All right, here we go. Makes noise. Baltimore, favored by 9.5 over Denver at home. Don't like it.
Wait, who? Denver what?
Baltimore, favored by 9.5.
Yeah, that's going to be a close game.
Over Denver. Arizona, favored by 0.5 Bears. Over the Bears. You really want to pick the Bears?
Bears are going to bounce back this week.
God, do we do it.
Bears are going to bounce back.
After what I just went through. Dare I root for them and pick them?
Arizona's, I mean,
Arizona's, I mean, they're a 3-0-5 game. Like, I could potentially have a few wins on the board going into that Bears game, and that could just make me feel.
The Bears.
Oh, no, all right. I got my time screwed up. All right. We're going Bears. We're going Bears. That's a pick 'em. They win, they get it for us. All right. We'll go Bears. Ugh. Don't know why. Here we go. Jaguars at Philadelphia. Philadelphia is favored by 7.5.
Philadelphia.
Philly's been playing well, which means they got a stinker due. Don't like it. Detroit at Green Bay. Detroit favored by 3.5 at Green Bay. I kind of like Detroit there. I mean, Love was out limping around last week.
Detroit. Yeah, but that backup quarterback, he's good. Have you seen him?
Yeah, he's not good. Yes, I'm going Detroit. He's played all right. Green Bay's got good coaching. They can figure it out with anybody. I think you put that guy on another. That guy didn't look like a pro quarterback in Tennessee.
Oh, he played for Tennessee.
I'm pretty sure that's where he was.
Yeah, well,
he's
playing well this year.
He looked. I think it was Tennessee. I'm not sure, but either way, he got some action last year, and he did not look good. We got the Rams favored by 1.5 over Seattle. So the Rams are getting some love with the return of Puka. And Cup.
Are they playing better? Did they win last week?
They did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they won.
Oh, yeah.
If they didn't win, it was a close game. I got to look back.
They played so good.
All I know is I feel like the Rams played Arizona. Didn't they play Arizona?
Mm-hmm. No, it was Thursday night.
All right, I got to look back. But anyway, They're favored by 1.5 in Seattle. I'm staying away. But Seattle, as you know, is a team that I think is going to make the playoffs. And I am a little bit concerned because they can't string two consecutive weeks of good football together.
They beat the Vikings.
Oh, okay. That's right. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. I want to talk about that game. That's coming up right after I make my picks here. Minnesota favored by 5.5 over Indy. Minnesota's at home. I don't like that game. And Kansas City favored by 8.5 over Tampa. I do not like that game. I got my picks. Yeah, we're just going with it. Who cares? What's the difference? We got Houston getting 1.5 in New York tomorrow night. We got Washington covering 3.5 against the Giants. We got Buffalo covering 6.5 at home against Miami. We got Cincy covering 7.5 at home against Vegas. We're taking the Bears, getting 0.5 in Arizona. And we're taking the Detroit Lions covering 3.5 in Green Bay. I do not know Love status, but Love looked like he was not feeling well this past week. So that's
was
where
he injured.
He got hurt, and they put Willis in, but he really did not. He did not look like.
By the way, Bronny James got his first career bucket against the Cavs.
Whoa! What just happened here? Cool change. So while I was in that pick sheet,
what
a line must have changed. While I was in that pick sheet, they kicked me out. We're still going Houston. We're still going Washington. We're going Buffalo.
What changed?
I'm looking to see what changed. We're going Cincy. We're going Bears. And we are going Detroit. None of our lines changed. Those are all the same. So
what
I don't know. I can't tell. I don't remember the other game. So we're in. We got those done. Okay. I got to talk about this. All right. Got a problem with the Minnesota game. All right. I talked about this last year. The emergency button.
Yeah, I didn't watch that in the game. What happened?
The emergency button needs to be applied. This is the Sports Life Sports Consulting Agency Incorporated. Give us a call, and we'll let you know the changes you need to make to your sports league. The NFL is the highest level of pro football in the world. We can't have games ending with face masks, okay? Minnesota, down 8. This is a drive to come back and tie the football game. A good football game. A game that had a lot of back and forth, a lot of action. Stafford was looking good. Minnesota, again, not making big-time mistakes.
I have a question.
What's the question?
Do you think the holding on the Bears Commanders game, would you call it the button?
No. That is not an emergency button item because the league is kind of known for letting
those. That was
an
obvious holding.
I know, but again, you're Daniels still looking.
Daniels was scrambling the guy to his right. He was trying to break open.
I agree, but you're still looking
that
at.
That affects the play.
It does. But again, this is an emergency button, right?
He's sacked if he doesn't hold.
Maybe. He's pretty shifty. Those plays, there's known to be holding on Hail Marys. If you look back.
Yeah,
now, again,
the refs don't look.
It doesn't make it right. But it doesn't apply to the emergency button. When you see a quarterback's head get ripped in the other direction, and not only do they not call it a penalty, they get a safety on it. They get a safety on the play. And this guy's head got ripped around to the point that the defender is walking away from the play with his hands on his helmet going, what did I just do? I just screwed this game up for my team because that's going to be unnecessary roughness, 15-yard penalty, and Minnesota's charging down to potentially win this game.
Wait, what happened?
What don't you know? Do you not know what happened at all? It's the final drive of the game. Yeah. Minnesota's driving to win the game. Mm-hmm. They're throwing out of their own end zone. The guy almost rips Darnold's head off with the face mask, and they call a safety because he threw him down. He got him by the face mask, and he threw him to the ground. The defender's got his hands on his head like, oh, no, I'm going to get a 15-yard penalty. And no, game over. You know, basically game over, safety. And, you know, that's the end of that. So, again, that ruined a good game, number one. Number two
is
that.
Wasn't it a two-score possession?
No, it wasn't. It was within. It was an 8-point game.
It was?
Yeah.
I thought it was like 30-20.
It was. So it was 28-20, and they got a 2-point safety.
Oh.
Exactly. So they're driving down. So we have to look at this. The NFL is struggling with some things. The NFL is struggling understanding what a catch is, because I'm telling you right now, Zach Ertz's playoff, that's not a catch.
Yeah, that was a catch.
That's a catch. Okay. They're having games end against teams that are going to be in the playoffs. I mean, the Vikings are going to be in the playoffs. The Rams are going to be fighting tooth and nail all the way through to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, but that NFC, NFC North or no?
You're talking
NFC,
West?
Yeah, West.
Yeah, West is a mess.
That's the worst team. That's the worst division in the league.
I think the worst is the NFC South, but that's just
NFC South with the Bucks.
The Bucks, the Falcons, the Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
And who's the fourth one? I'm missing a team
Bucks,
there. But anyway,
Saints.
All, yeah, that's pretty awful. I mean, there's not a really good team there where, like, the NFC West was projected to be one of the best, and it just hasn't panned out.
The Cardinals are in first place.
San Fran has not had it. I still like the
Well, McCaffrey's not there.
McCaffrey will make a difference, but Purdy actually has been really good. But again, you got to be able to – you have to be able to have somebody in New York, whether it's the commissioner or whoever it is, be able to put a stop to this and be like, hey, we're not letting
every
the
game
– oh, yeah, you can. You can't have a czar on each game making the call. You can't have that. Why not? I want to know why you can't have that. It's the NFL. They're a billion-dollar business. You can have a guy watching every minute of every play and make sure something like that doesn't happen. It happened
in the playoffs a few
years ago. It cost the Saints a chance at the Super Bowl.
Maybe it should only happen the fourth quarter.
Look, it's an emergency button. It's only to be used.
It sounds like an emergency button should happen the first quarter.
It's not going to be used. It's going to be
a play.
That's what
I'm saying. Only happened in the fourth quarter.
Maybe it's only the fourth. Maybe it's overtime. It can't be a play that's going to directly affect the end result of a game within the last 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah, so it has to be second.
So go fourth quarter. Yeah, second half, fourth quarter. And again, this has nothing to do with the coaches, red flags, what's challengeable, what's not challengeable. None of that stuff comes into play. They just add something to the document that says the NFL has an emergency button that can be applied to when there's an egregious error made by officiating that's clearly visible on TV. That's it. Simple, plain and simple, done.
Well, then you have
put
to
it in the books.
Then you have to put the emergency button. Then you have to put the emergency button with the Commanders Bears that holding.
No, it's not going to apply there. It's not going to apply because
that's... Yeah, I'm going to argue that's because it's an obvious holding that affects the play.
But the chances that that play turns out to be a success, with or without the hold, is like a 1 in 250
shot.
Yeah,
it forces more pressure because if he gets loose, then Daniels is still going to have to
scramble. I agree that obviously a flag thrown there changes the outcome
Daniels
of that
game. Daniels
barely
got...
In my opinion, that doesn't get the emergency.
Barely got to the end zone, and then scrambling, he's not going to have to set his feet, so it's going to probably be end at the 30-yard line.
Flag! Improper use of emergency button by Caden Colville.
I'm still going to argue this.
You're getting flagged on that, plain and simple.
He literally ripped his jersey. He was going to rip his jersey.
I didn't like it, but that's it. We're moving on. All right. World Series is live right now.
5-0.
Last time I checked, 4-0. Is Cole still got a no-hitter going? Check it out. He had a no-hitter through three or four. I think he had a no-hitter through three.
I don't think so because it's top of five. Bases are loaded for the Dodgers.
Oh, the Dodgers got the bases juiced?
Yeah. Judge homered, Chisholm homered, Verdugo singled, and Stanton homered.
I want to know how many hits the Dodgers have.
The Dodgers have one hit, Kike Hernandez.
Okay, so the Dodgers are on the board with a hit. I was trying to keep an eye on that just to see if Cole had something special going there. Cole's got good stuff tonight. This is not really that big of a surprise, right? The Dodgers were throwing a bullpen game in game four.
Okay. Now they're going to have to in game five, too, because Flaherty pitched 1 1/3.
Well, they threw a bullpen game in four. Won't Buehler be back for six? I think it's going to Buehler, but look nasty.
But their bullpen's going to be cooked because they've already pitched 1, 2, 3 bullpen guys: Banda, Brazier, and Kopech.
It looks to me like LA. This obviously looks like it's going back to LA. They're going to have to finish it there. Some notes from this. We haven't talked about the World Series since it started. I'm the only guy that had the Dodgers winning it. I think I said in six or seven. I might have said seven. But the bottom line here is that Freeman is basically locked into the MVP if the Dodgers win. He's homered in six consecutive World Series games. If he was able to do it tonight, that would be seven. You have that first game where Boone ends up going to Cortez, and the guy hadn't pitched, they said, in like 3 months. Was it, Caden? How many months was it?
Three.
Yeah, he hadn't pitched in a while. And Boone goes to him, and it ends up looking like a Boone-headed move. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. And Freddie did his job. And then Freddie comes out. Freddie had not been doing his thing up to that point. And then he comes out and pulls a Kirk Gibson, and he's been awesome ever since. I saw something showing the parallels between what he did versus what Gibson did, and that was pretty cool. Obviously, Freddie had a little bit of an ankle injury going into that as well. So those parallels were really cool to see. But again, the Dodgers are in control of this. Could a team come back from 3-0? Sure. I mean, the Red Sox did it to the Yanks, and it can be done. But I still like the Dodgers closing this out. My one concern here has been Shohei. I mean, Shohei, since he got hurt in a couple games ago with the shoulder, he's not the same at the plate. And when he was running the bases yesterday, he was actually holding his arm like in the air while he ran. So it was kind of it was definitely an awkward type of situation for him. He's not himself. He doesn't look the same at the plate. I think he's 2-for-17 in the World Series. And it came in as the Shohei Judge showdown, and neither guy has been the same. Judge hit a home run tonight. Judge up to that home run has been absolutely awful. I mean, Judge is not, he's missing the ball by 2 feet. Judge looks terrible, and it has really hurt them. And I mentioned that when we talked about it with Uncle Clint last week. I said, if Judge and Stanton are both going, the Yankees can definitely win the series. But if they're not, and Judge continued his postseason slide like he's had, it's not going to happen for them. And that's pretty much the way that this has played out. Now, Shohei, even when he's not effective at the plate, he's still so effective as a player because he's getting walked a lot. They still fear him. His on-base percentage in the postseason is still right at near 400. So Shohei is awesome. But the World Series, man, I mean, it looked like it was just going to be a sweep and done. Now it looks like we got Game 6 going back to L.A. So tune in. It could get interesting. It could come down to a big moment for Shohei or Judge or, you know, maybe a big pitching performance out of somebody. We don't know what we're going to see, but this is definitely going to make it interesting now that it looks like the Yanks are taking 4 and possibly 5. What do you think, Caden? I think you've changed your mind. You think it's obviously going to be the Dodgers now, right?
Well, I think the thing that's very – I think I the thing that's surprising for me, and well, I think that's happy, is because this has been one of the few years where the two best teams have made the World Series. And I know it was 3-0. Now it's, if the Yankees win, it's going to be 3-2. But I think if it's going to be any year, if this year, that a team's going to come back from 3-0, it's going to be this year because of the fact that the Yankees, both teams have just something special to them that they can just catch a hot streak. the Dodgers did, but just kind of seems like with the Yankees' momentum, with the crowd, and now them just trying to, you know, fight and just trying to stay alive, they kind of have just more energy as a team. So again, I think the energy with the crowd and with the just intended that they win, they go, I mean, if they lose, they go home, win, and they stay. I think that's going to help them. But eventually, it's going to come down to, will the guys come up when the game's on the line in the back and their backs is against the wall on the road? Because they look like a whole different team at home and on the road. And I think the question is, can they get out of big situations? Can they limit the big-time damage? And can their big-time players show up when it matters?
I think you make a great point. It's like, hey, when it comes down to this, you're going to be in L.A. You have to win two games there. It's easy when you got that home crowd behind you booing everything that doesn't go your way and everybody's on their feet. You got fans trying to rip the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove and New York's going insane and you got all those things going for you and all that momentum. What's going to happen if the Dodgers jump out to a 2-0 lead or something like that back home where they got all the support? I think you're right. Who's going to come up with the big play then? I'm going to be curious to see it, because if you ask me, the money guy on that team is Soto. Soto's the guy that's going to be big in the big moment. I think LA is going to be too much. You got three MVPs at the top of your lineup. Somebody's coming through. What do you got?
I was just thinking, I think the winner of these next couple games, if it's even tonight, because the Dodgers are in business. Last time I checked, they have the bases loaded. Or if it's game six or even game seven, I think it's going to really determine who has the more depth. Because both the Yankees and the Dodgers have a lot of depth. But especially offensively, both teams, big-time power hitters, like you said, when it's Judge versus Ohtani, both hitters are not doing well. It kind of seemed like throughout this postseason, there was a lot of dependence on those two guys, especially when the Dodgers were down 2-1 against the Padres. Ohtani had to come up clutch, and Judge has been bad but throughout this postseason. But which depth?
He had a replacement, though. Yeah, Stanton. Stanton has been
which
like
depth,
Judge.
Yeah, which depth on their squads is going to come up clutch as a team? It can't just be offensively. It has to be in the bullpen. Fielding-wise, who else is going to come up clutch except for the big-time power hitters? And again, I think it's going to be the Dodgers, because throughout this postseason, it hasn't just been Freeman. It hasn't just been Ohtani. It's been guys like Kike Hernandez and Max. I mean, just everybody. You don't know who's going to come
Muncy,
up clutch.
You got Edmund. Edmund's been really good. But I agree. I think they're more of a well-rounded team.
Especially their bullpen, where they've been coming up clutch, too. But again, the Yankees can do that, too. They just haven't had that timely team success like the Dodgers have had. Consistently.
Yankees feel a little sloppier to me. The Dodgers just seem like a little bit cleaner of a team. I love Soto, but I don't think he's great and right. He misplayed that ball where Kike ended up getting a triple on it. I believe that was in game one. So, I mean, they're a little bit sloppy, the Yanks, and I think that'll ultimately come back to bite them in game six. I think that the Dodgers are going to finish them off. If not, I'm excited. I mean, there's nothing better than a game seven in the World Series, especially when a team like the Yanks would have come back from 3-0 at that point. So I'm excited either way. I'm glad that they've made a series of it, because I was going to be a little bit sad if that thing just went 4-0. All right, we're going to take a break before we jump to some funny NBA talk. All right, I know Caden's tracking the Bulls. I got to look up this new streaming network to see if we can watch Bulls on. We got
to
figure something out. We can't watch the Bulls in Chicago. It's insane. But the biggest thing this week in the NBA has nothing to do with what happened on the court, and it has everything to do with the ridiculous Dwayne Wade statue, where it looks like Dwayne Wade emerged from a fire or something. This picture, the guy's on Inside the NBA. I think Ernie said it best. If you gave someone 1,000 guesses, if you just took the head and you said, here's a head statue, I don't think they'd ever get to Dwayne Wade. If you look at that photo, I encourage everybody to bring up Google, just hit Dwayne Wade statue and look at this thing. This thing looks nothing like Dwayne Wade. So as I was looking into this, some funny stuff popped up. I'm going to see if I got it. I'll have to YouTube it to see if I can get it for you guys. But one of the funny things was that the Miami mayor, this goes back, so Wade has had a couple of strange public things take place. And one is when this was hilarious. One is when the Miami Heat won in 2009, and this lady, the mayor of Miami, screws up the announcement. You have to listen to this. So this has happened to Dwayne Wade before. All right, here we go. I'm going to play this. Here we go. Listen. He's come. Here we go. Wade Jones. Here we go. Listen.
He's calm, collected, has a will to win because his name, of course, is Wade Jones.
All right. So that's the mayor of Miami when Dwayne Wade wins his first title, who says his name, of course, is Wade Jones.
Wait, so how do you mess that up so bad?
How do you mess up? I mean, Dwayne Wade was literally like the prince of the city at that point. And this, like, you have to look this up. It is hilarious. Wait, it shows Dwayne Wade behind, like, look behind him, like, who is Wade Jones? Like, everybody's looking around. I'm sure she's referring to Dwayne Wade, and then it shows that the player's kind of hugging her and laughing about it. But anyway, then they unveil this statue, and all Dwayne Wade says is, hey, who is that guy? Like, you know he's making a joke on how bad that thing's. This thing, I believe, tops the Cristiano Ronaldo statue, which if you haven't seen the first version of the Ronaldo statue before they redid it, it may be worse because he looks like he's like cross-eyed or something. Like, his eyes are like uneven and they're like really close together. So you,
and his neck is like
look
huge.
With all the technology out there and the AI, how are we getting worse at making statues? I mean, this is absolutely embarrassing. I gotta find this. I gotta see if I can find Chuck on it. Charles Barkley on Dwayne Wade statue. All right, here we go. I'm gonna play this for you guys.
Charles Barkley on Dwayne Wade statue.
Sorry. Here we go. You got to hear
it. Welcome to the show. Ernie Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, Timmy the Jet Smith, Charles Barkley, and in one of the weirdest coincidences of all time.
What's that?
We've all dressed as Dwayne Wade for Halloween. Isn't that amazing?
Are you saying that the team that looks like him?
That does not look like him.
It looks like, it looks like an animated. That does not.
We're looking like me.
You gotta see these photos, dude.
They can pull the statue down and do another one.
That's what they do.
No. The white guy did a great job on the statue.
No, man.
Oh, then they showed the Ronaldo one.
But obviously a great honor for D Wade.
It's a great honor, but they gotta take that thing down.
So I had to play it up to that Barkley part where he says, "Oh, it is a great honor, but they got to take that thing down." I mean, it's absolutely hysterical. So if you guys have not seen it, it is comical. Check it out. It looks nothing like Wade. And then if you YouTube inside the NBA Dwayne Wade statue, you can watch.
That's last year.
They're putting, they're putting Dwayne Wade's head on like various photos, like where it was LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade, and they're taking the statue head and putting it on him, and it's hysterical. So get a laugh out of that. Otherwise, the NBA is chugging along right now. I think people have been a little bit surprised that the Lakers seem to have a little bit of a new strategy with J.J. Redick. Last I saw, they were losing tonight to the Cavs. They may have lost that game, but trying to make AD the focus, which I think it is something that they need to be doing. AD is going to need to be like a, 27, 28 point guy on that team. I just don't know that he's capable of keeping up that pace for a full season. I like the Thunder. I mean, the Thunder are built. The Thunder still have capital that they can work with to make moves later in the season if they need to make a big splash in the trade market. The Thunder just look like they could be a team to really make a push this year after having a difficult postseason run last year. But the Thunder are awesome. I love what they're doing with that team. And again, Cadence Bowles, not much to say. I mean, Lonzo came back. He's already hurt. I mean, that dude is just – we got damaged goods in that deal. I think with Lonzo out there, the team's a little bit interesting. It's almost like we're playing a five out. Like, we got all these small guys out there moving around.
They're like all guards.
Yeah, it's interesting. But the Bulls, at the end of the day,
down by one right now,
are going to be a mediocre squad. They're going to be somewhere between 38 and probably 37 and 42 wins. And that's what we will get out of the Chicago Bulls, which is just a gigantic waste of time. We want a team that competes. I had this guy from the Bulls, because we went to a couple games last year. He's trying to put together like a ticket package for me. And, you know, we were talking about the team, and I just said, at the end of the day, it's going to be hard to commit to any kind of package where you talk more than us going to just a few games a year when ownership is okay just putting a mediocre team on the floor year in and year out. And that's what the Bulls are doing. They seem perfectly okay with it. The United Center is the biggest stadium in the NBA. They fill it on a nightly basis. They do put on a great show. I will give them that. But ownership is okay with what's happening right now. They don't seem like there's any sense of urgency to make a change, to get a real real competitive team in Chicago. I don't see us making any big splash trades or moves. It's tough. And Caden is just true Chicago to the core. He's watching them. He's following them every day, every night so far this season. Go ahead. Jump in.
Again, I think it's hard to make trades when you have 4 or 5 really, really bad contracts, starting with the Lonzo Ball contract where he hasn't played in 2 years. Now he's already injured. And I think there was rumors where the Bulls, when they got...
Whoa! 5-5! Sorry to interrupt.
Hey, I'm speaking here.
I'm sorry, we had a 5-5 game. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I'll get the update for you in a second.
What happened?
I don't know. You finish your thought here, and then I'll tell you what happened. I haven't seen it. I'm sorry. Dude, they just scored 5 runs in the top of the fifth. I don't know what happened.
I was just saying that when the Pelicans traded Lonzo Ball to the Bulls, there was rumors that Lonzo Ball was already injured going to Chicago. Zach LaVine's contract overall has not been the best, but so far he's been great. I mean, he's been averaging 30 points a game so far. I mean, it's only been 4 games this year, but he's been great. Vooch's contract is bad, but he's been playing well this year. He 3 out of 4 games, he's had a double-double, so he's been good. But again, you kind of know what you're going to get from Vooch. Then Patrick Williams, I mean, this guy is just, I can't stand Patrick Williams. He had 2 devastating injuries.
They invested in him.
Yes, and he does not deserve to be in the starting role. He averages less than 10 points a game. For the past 3 years, and the Bulls, and he was just had 2 really bad injuries, and now he's out for the year, when it really mattered for the Bulls last year. And to reward Patrick Williams for
why'd they
out,
sign him? I don't understand it. Because they gave him a good chunk.
Because they were worried that other teams are going to pick him up, and they wanted to make a statement. So for rewarding Patrick Williams for being out for being out when it really mattered in January, February, March, they rewarded him with $70 million, so he can just average 10 points and be a horrible. I mean, he's a bad defender. He's a very good driver to the basketball, and he's a very good mid-range guy. But the thing is, he's not aggressive, and he doesn't do what he's good at. He doesn't drive to the basket. He's not good at mid-range. He just sits around the three-point range and expects the guy just to hand the ball off when he feels like it. I mean, I'm just so frustrated with this. I'm not sure why the Bulls gave him that contract. So, again, I think that I like the move from Giddey. I think a lot of people did not like Giddey because of the stuff he dealt with and because Caruso was just the heart of this city. I mean, he was a scrappy, kind of like a Dennis Rodman type of player. But I really like the Giddey trade. I know DeMar was definitely
I like Giddey too.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I mean, he's not going to
get... DeMar was gone. But I like Giddey too because I love Caruso, and I think Caruso is a perfect complementary piece on a winning team, a playoff team, on a championship caliber team. But on the Bulls, he was just going to kind of, like, you know, he'd come in and play some great defense. Giddey's young, and Giddey can get better, and he can do a lot of different things.
I think Caruso plays very good defense, but there was times where I just felt like he's very aggressive offensively, but at times he was very bad. He tried to shoot a 3-point ball. Overall, he was not a very good 3-point shooter, and offensively, he was just not the best. Giddey, he's not going to play as hustle, as grindy defense as Caruso, but he's going to play smart defense, and offensively, he's going to He's going to be close to double-double, triple-double basically every game.
I don't know about triple-double every game, but he's going to be close to a double-double.
He's a very good passer. I mean, he has very good vision. He's pretty big. He's pretty strong. He's a pretty good shooter. He's a good guy inside, and the Bulls need some size because they have a very small team. Again, I like Io. If LaVine stays healthy, I think he's going to be replacing DeRozan's spot. I like Kobe. I think that, to be honest, I think his role is going to decrease a little bit because I think LaVine, if he can stay healthy, I think the Bulls can, if the Bulls are competitive and kind of have a 500 spot competing for a play-in or more than that, LaVine's going to be with the guy with the ball in his hands when it matters. Not saying that Kobe's not, but I think that Kobe's going to be more of a guy moving without the ball and trying to find open shots more than trying just to generate his own shot like LaVine is, because I think LaVine can do more stuff with the ball.
Best case scenario for LaVine is that the Bulls are not playing good and LaVine's playing great and the Bulls can get rid of him and get something for him.
And I think that'll benefit the Bulls because I think eventually they're going to want Kobe White, if Kobe White's going to be a long-time Bull,
I like Kobe.
To get the ball in his hands and control this offense. But one thing that has really bothered me has been, why are we not playing Matas Muzelis? This guy has been your number one draft pick, and these are the minutes he's played throughout this year, and this has really bothered me.
This is it for the Bulls talk.
Because
I'm bored already.
Because I'm confused what you picked this guy. This guy is supposed to be in his prime, and you're supposed to put this guy in his prime when the Bulls are trying to win.
All right, go ahead. What do you got?
This is
game number. I want to finish with this World Series. All right,
game number one against the Pelicans, Matas played 5 minutes. Game number two against the Bucks, he played. He played 9 minutes. Game number three against the Thunder, he played 7 minutes.
They draft this guy?
He was the first round pick. Game number four against the Grizzlies, he played 3 minutes. And now, so far today, we're in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes. He's played 4 minutes.
All right, we'll keep an eye on him.
How are you supposed to generate this guy when he's playing less than 10 minutes every single game? Like, that's just confusing.
We got to give this World Series update, and then we're closing out. All right, we're done for the night. Here we go. All right, here's what happened. I wanted to update this because I looked at the play-by-play. This tells you, I just mentioned this. I said the Yankees are sloppy.
They made two errors.
It's going to come back to bite them. They made two errors in this inning. Listen how it starts off. Hernandez singles to right. Edmonds safe on first by fielding error by Judge. How is that? How are you safe at first on a fielding error by the center fielder? How does that work?
Must
have been like a drop fly ball, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Hernandez safe at second on error. Then Smith grounded into fielder's choice to shortstop Edmund. Edmund to second. Hernandez safe at third on throwing error by shortstop Volpe. So two errors. Now they have the bases loaded. Nobody out with two errors. Okay. Then Luck strikes out. Otani strikes out. So it looks like they're in business. They're going to get out of this. And then the wheels come off, all right? Betts reaches on an infield single. One run scores, base is still loaded. Freeman singles, two run score. Hernandez doubles, another two run score. Before you know it, blink of an eye, 5-5. Now we're in the bottom of the fifth, two outs. Yankees got a runner on first. But look at that, two errors is ultimately got the Dodgers back in this game. I thought it was going back to L.A., but it looks like it's going to get interesting. We'll be covering this. Either one way or the other, we're going to be covering a World Series winner by the time we launch our next pod. So we thank you guys for listening to us tonight. This has been fun, man. I was glad we got to it was fun starting off by myself, solo, and then having Caden join while I was just going off on an absolute rant on the Chicago Bears and how I'm not really sure that I want to be watching that every minute. What happened?
I saw the Judge drop fly ball. It's it was like a weak line drive. He just caught a lazy catch and he just dropped it.
Oh, man. Brutal. The other one probably wasn't as bad. They were trying to cut a guy down at third.
Oh, my God.
But, man, can you believe baseball's still going on? It's like the never-ending sport. Caden's just about to start his winter stuff, and these guys are still playing. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to us. Remember to like us and follow us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your pods. We really appreciate you listening. We hope everybody has a great night.